You know, it's a real privilege. I think we need to thank Gary, Renee, and David here on those drums. You know, when he threw his coat over the drums, I thought he was trying to hide his feet, but wow. Awesome this morning, kids. It's been a couple weeks ago. Mark and I was chit-chatting as to, we knew his dad was drawing close to the end. And what I might speak on in his absence. And he said that I needed to share with you healing. And I says, Mark, you know, that's a great big word. I don't know how many hundreds of verses there are in Scripture that refer to healing. So anyway, I took that as a lead to this morning. What I'd like to do is share with you. And this is going to be a Cliff Notes version, okay? So all I'm going to do is just clip off the tops of the hills. And there's so many different ways people take this. I know the way I was raised, that if you were sick, God was doing something to get your attention. He made you sick and he was just hammering you down. And for 30-some years, that's what I believed. Well, I can't understand why a God who wants the best for me would make me sick, and then I realized that he could heal, but I'd go off and get a bunch of medicines to try to heal me while he's making me sick. And, you know, finally that came to fruition in my mind to realize it was all a bunch of bunk. It took a while. The turning point was in Lewistown, Montana. And we had a young man there that was 4 years old, and they say he wasn't going to make five. He had been exposed to some chemicals in a new built trailer house, and his mom conceived him, and that made him so he was paraplegic and a whole lot of other stuff. And I know that his dad says, I'm going to bring him before the elders. And I remember the four elders at that Baptist church got up there, and they wheeled this little guy up there. The doctor said, he won't see five. We saw him graduate from high school. We saw him graduate from college. And we saw him have a successful career. He died at age 37. You know, God is the healer. He's the one that sets the tone for everything. Now this morning, I want to just touch on a few things, and I've got some scriptures. Don, did you get those on there for me? Okay. Wow, you say, Matt, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, that's where I've been for the last 2 weeks. Well, that's just a few of them. These are the ones that he's put together for you this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, if you would, to start with. And I'd open in prayer here so the Holy Spirit takes care of this, not me. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for this morning. And we thank you as we review the healing, spiritual and physical, Lord, that you will touch those hearts that need to be touched this morning and work in those that you have brought this message for. That, Lord, they may leave here changed, having drawn closer to you. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm in Exodus 23, and I'm just going to share one verse here. I'd challenge you to go back and put these in context. Go back and read the whole chapter this week. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Wow. What's it say you got to do? Serve the Lord your God, and I will take the sickness away from the midst of you. I don't know if you've ever connected being in service and dedicating yourself to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and health. Now, I'm speaking of your spiritual health. Because the spiritual part of this is really important, and we're going to delve into it here just a little bit. And I want to share with you from God's Word, because I heard enough man's words in my lifetime. And I know that how God heals. After being up to Rocky Boy for 20 years, I got exposed to some more. We've seen healings right in here. Amen? How many have we seen that we've... Oh, lots. The one that comes to mind this morning is Sean Norstead's wife. Remember when she was diagnosed and was so ill, and the elders put hands on her, and she was healed? Still healed? Wow! I mean, that was when I first came back. Let's take Isaiah 35. You know what's interesting about Isaiah? He was 775 years before Jesus came along. And he's telling us all about Jesus coming. Okay, I'm in verse 35. And it said, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as a rose. Now he's talking about the Israelites. They come through. We'll get there. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Wow. And then we're going down to verse 3. Strengthen. He's going to strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearfully hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. He's speaking to Jesus here, the things he's going to do. The eyes of the blind will open. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams of the desert. Oh, wow. Talking about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the things he's going to do. Let's turn to Luke 4, which backs that scripture up, the New Testament, because I know some folks, they have a hang-up here. We're New Testament times. Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. Okay, Luke 4:18. Oh, man, you know what's music to a pastor's ears is when he hear the pages flip. It's really tough. I went into CMR to their student prayer time, and there's no phases flipping. They all got a phone. They take their phone, and they're whipping their finger this way and that way, and I think that's what they're doing is reading Scripture. I don't know. Okay. Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Oh, let me back up here. Verse 17, this is Jesus. He's in the tabernacle, okay? And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, verse 17. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, speaking of himself. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Wow. And then he went and sat down, and the scribes and Pharisees came unglued at the stitching. Anyway, back to Matthew chapter 4. Back up with me to Matthew chapter 4. Okay, beginning in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's doing exactly what Isaiah had written 775 years before. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Wow. And you can go on over to chapter 9 where he healed the mute man as well. Told him not to tell anybody. But after his mouth opened, he couldn't keep it shut. This morning, I'd like to take just a few minutes and talk to you about spiritual healing. I'll give you these verses as background as to prophesied to actually what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about our spiritual wounds. We all got them. We all got them. There's somebody that has said something or did something that, and some of them are chronic. I mean, we think we got it all healed up and suppressed, and somebody says something, and wham, off on a tangent I go again. Spiritual wounds. You can push them down. And you know, some of the wounds, I'm going to read a list here. Betrayal, rejection, sin, maybe you lost someone or something. Maybe it's just flat-out abuse. And they've cut you clear to the core, and those wounds are laid wide open. They're laid wide open. Now, I understand. We all have them. And some of them have lasted for decades. I had one that lasted close to 50 years before I realized that I hadn't allowed it to heal. Good news, though. Hey, the great physician can completely heal our broken heart, bind up our wounds. He can make us whole. But just as with a physical wound, we're going to have to role play some healing here, because there are some steps. The healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, have given us. We have to be a willing partner with Him. We can have the wound, but unless we accept His help, guess what? We get to keep it. We get to keep it. Because it takes two of us. It takes Him and it takes us. It takes us to cooperate. And the spiritual healing is a process, folks. This is the best way I know it. Now, if you got a different view of this, talk to me afterwards. Enlighten me, will you? It wouldn't be fair for me to tell you that there's three steps to this, and they're all easy. All you got to do is A, B, C, and you got it. I wish I could say it that way. Healing up wounds is never really easy. And it might take longer than you thought. Because through God's grace and mercy, it's possible to have in once and for all healing. So when you get a wound, what's the first thing you do? What's the first thing? When my grandkid comes in and he's got his fingers slit wide open, well, I had him out in the meat house. He was cutting meat with me. And he wasn't quite practiced up yet. He's 10 years old. You know, he's got a ways to go. But the right knives are razor sharp, and he nicks himself. Okay, so what's Grandpa? What's the first thing Grandpa does? Washes it. You got to cleanse the wound. Okay, now I'm using a physical example. Let's come back to this spiritually. How do you cleanse a spiritual wound? No idea. You have to profess it. Because most of the wounds that we're carrying are unforgiveness. We've been offended. And we're packing that. And as long as we are offended and as well as we are unforgiven, what is that? S-I-N. So can God help us? Sin separates us from God. It throws up a wall. Satan's got us. Until we admit, hey, I'm sinning in this unforgiveness, Lord. Help me here. You got to wash the wound out. You got to remove the unforgiveness. You got to cleanse it. It says in Psalm 147, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Wow. So what's the second thing we need to do? We need to bind it up. And how do we bind it up? It says here, in the renewing of our minds. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12. We need to turn it over to God, but we also need to renew our mind through His Scriptures. And you say, well, what does a mind have to do with spiritual wounds? Everything. Where do you think all this has taken place? I'd reckon to bet that most of the spiritual wounds are housed right up here between your ears, being shaded by your hair. And you know what? There's some more to this. Now, I'm the metal here. A lot of them are self-inflicted. We just think he said, she thought, he thought, they thought, maybe. And we take offense to it. Self-inflicted. Nobody said nothing. Oh, he looked at me wrong. Do you see the way they were looking at me? I'm being facetious here, but it's the point. It's the point. We need to cleanse it. We need to take care of it. We need to keep track of it. And you know what's going to happen? Eventually, we're going to have a scar. We're going to have a scar from that wound. That scar means that wound is healed. And we can pack that scar proudly. We can pack it proudly, folks. Because all the neighbors know what you went through. You just think you hit it. And when they see you grow, they see you heal, they see you maintain it, they see that you've got a scar now and you're staying away from it, that you're not going back to it. It's done. God healed you. You're able to bear witness to the whole community. You just think it's all in yourself. God's going to use that for good working through you because you have asked him to help you and heal you, so he'll work through you to work with others. Amen? Wow. Okay, let's move on to physical healing. You know, I don't know whether and every one of us has an infirmity. I probably got 4 or 5 of us to think about them. I don't take time most times. So I ain't got time for them. We face difficulty in diseases. Maybe it's just we're just scared of something. Maybe we're thinking, oh, guys, I don't know what's going to happen next week or next year. You're unsure of the future. You know, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share with you 4 prayers that I ran across this last couple weeks. The first one is a prayer for personal healing. Oh, did you know you're supposed to pray for yourself? How many of you pray for yourself? Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. I got a little New Testament. It's got 4 scriptures in it if you're getting sick. And, you know, if you worked at Rocky Boy and you didn't miss any days of work, they gave you a $1,000 bonus. And the Lord is faithful. At the end of the year, the superintendent would come up and hand me my $1,000 check. Not a sick day missed. If I wasn't feeling good going to work, I'd take out the New Testament. I shouldn't tell you this. Standing up on a steering wheel, and I'm putzing down the road. Well, I'd driven that road for 20 years. I mean, hey, the car knew the way. And I'd read those scriptures, and I'd get about 3 of them, and it would be gone. Whatever was bugging me would be gone. And I was able to go to work. Yeah. Well, of course, $1,000 check at the end of the year, maybe it may have been a carrot. But the Lord honored that. He honored that. But it was self-praying. I'm praying for myself. Hey, Lord, I feel sicker than a dog, man. Yeah, and able to walk in and teach 6 classes. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to share a prayer with you. And I didn't see the name of the gal who said this. Rebecca. This is Rebecca's prayer. Okay. God, you know me so well, you created me. Now we're praying for self now. You know the number of hairs on my head, and you know even know the thoughts conceived in my heart before I ever vocalize them. You've told us to come to you and ask for every need of life. You are the Jehovah Raha, the God who heals. And you have the final word in my destiny, and a number of years I'll live and serve you on earth. I'm coming to you today as your child, longing to hear from you and asking for your divine healing. There's so much I don't understand about life, but I do know that with one touch, one word, you can make me whole. Please forgive me for my sins, cleanse me of my unrighteousness, and begin your healing from the inside out. I don't always know what your will is, Lord, especially in times like now when I'm desperately seeking your face. I offer you no promises, no bargains, no deals in exchange for my health. I simply bow my heart before you to tell you the desire of my heart that I want to spend as many years as I can loving you, loving others, and wanting to become more like you. However, you choose to accomplish that is up to you and okay with me. If you use doctors to provide healing, give them wisdom to know what I do. Regardless of how you accomplish it, the healing you give is always miraculous, and you deserve all the praise. I absolutely believe you have the power to heal. You demonstrate that on earth that you still heal in miraculous ways today. Even when my faith is weak, you say it is enough, and my love for you is strong. And I know you already hold my heart and life in your hands. It's up to you. If I can bring you more glory through healing, then that's what I ask for. That's what I desire. But if your answer is no, or not now, I know that your grace is sufficient for me. Ultimately, I want your will to be my will. I look forward to spending an eternity with you. But God, if you have plans still more for me to do here on earth, I not only need and want your physical healing, Lord, but I, through deep down cleansing and strengthening, the wholehearted renewal of all that I am, because all that I am is yours. Use this trial to strengthen me from a what-if faith to a no-matter-what faith. And no matter what, I choose to honor you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Rebecca. Yes, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to recognize Him as the Almighty Healer. And I know, for 20 years I taught at Rocky Boy, that He was with me every day. Now, if you got a friend that's sick, or maybe a relative, here's a short prayer for that. Lord, your word speaks promises of healing and restoration, and I thank you for the miracles you still perform today. Today I claim these promises over my friend. I believe in the healing power of faith and power, and I ask you to begin your mighty work in the life of my friend. Please reach down and surround my friend with supernatural peace and strength, and give him or her the faith to believe that all things are possible for you. Protect them from Satan's lies and discouragement, and let the miraculous healing begin. Amen. I know that I pray that every time I go in and see Ralph. Oh, by the way, Ralph's doing good. We got him into Park Place. He's just having a great time with the rec center director. She's a 6-foot Norwegian and a very, very sweet young lady. And she's free with hugs. Oh, Ralph's doing all right. Okay, the prayer for healing, and we're going to tack a term onto this, and grace. This is my third prayer for you. We confess our need for you today. We need your healing and your grace. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love, constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running all different directions and spinning our wheels to find help when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you above everyone and everything else. We come to you and bring you the places we are hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see or understand. You know the pain we're carrying, the burdens, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you're able to do far more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for your mighty power that acts on behalf of your children. We reach out to you and know that you are restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle, to your greater glory. Thank you that you will never waste our pain and suffering. We love you, and we need you today in Jesus' name. Wow, wow. Let me share one more with you. This one here is for sick family and friends. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love. And I'm gonna name Ralph here. Since I'm constantly in prayer for him, I'll just put his name in the slots, okay? I know that you hate what this illness is doing to him. I ask that you would heal this disease, that you would have passion and bring healing from all sickness. Your word in Psalms 107, that when we call out to you, the Eternal One, you will give the order, heal and rescue us from certain death. In the Bible, I have read the miraculous healings, and I believe that you still heal the same way today. I believe that this is no illness you cannot heal. After all, the Bible tells of you raising people from the dead, so I ask for your healing in this situation with Ralph. I also know from my experience of life on earth that not everyone is healed. If that happens here, then keep my heart soft towards you. Help me to understand your plan. Help me to be excited about heaven. God, I thank you that Ralph belongs to you and that you are in control of everything that happens to him, from our first breath to our last. Last week we prayed for Judy, and she gave me a call the day after the surgery. She had always had real problems coming out of anesthesia. It was a disaster. When they finished up the surgery, she was coming out of the surgery room, back to recovery, and she came to. She says her mind was clear, and she can tell you everything that happened from that point forward. She says that she wasn't going to put on makeup to come and be with us this morning because where they did the surgery and stuff is all black and blue. And she says, I'm not going to doctor it up to be pretty, so you're just going to have to do without me. But praise the Lord. I mean, the elders laid hands on. And when you know, it's like the first time, go back 40 years when in Lewistown, when they brought little David up there to have hands laid on him. And they laid hands on him. And he was healed. I mean, the Lord chooses his timing in all this. I know at Rocky Boy, we saw numerous times. And you don't have to be present to do it. Joe Whitehorse came in one morning. I had a prayer time in my classroom before school started. And we had bus drivers and school principal and teachers and stuff come in there. And in comes Joe, and he's as white as a ghost. And I says, Joe, what's going on? He says, well, my wife is dying of cancer. They told me to bring the kids, and they don't think she'll last out today. And she was in benefits down here. And she was dying of stage 4 lung cancer. So we just went to our knees right there, the group of us, and we held his wife up and asked for healing. And old Joe, he left. He was the guy who ran the bus garage, kept repairing all the buses. Anyway, he got to Great Falls, and he goes up to her room, and here she's sitting on the edge of the bed. Her bags are packed. She's got a couple sacks there, and he says, what's going on, Mary? She says, they said I can go home. That you can go home? Yeah, there's no more cancer. 2 hours from the time we prayed till he walked in her room down here. That afternoon, I was in class, but Joe Whitehorse, he's one of the bus drivers, or Joe Big Knife was one of the bus drivers, and Joe Whitehorse went to him and said, hey, Joe, you got to tell me about this God of yours. And Joe says, well, you got Mary with you. And Joe Big Knife said, he just smiled at Joe and says, our God works, doesn't he? You know. But he went over to the house, and that couple dropped to their knees by their couch and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be present to hold up for healing. I'll share one more with you. A kid was an epileptic, and he was in school. And I was in the office. Rick was in there with me. And he comes in and just crashes, and the demons got him just bouncing off the floor. I never said a word out loud. I just said, in the name of Jesus, be removed from this young man. And he rolled up on his back like a wrestler does, you know. And he looked at me with his eyes this way, feet red, just. And then, boom, he just down. Just down. He just. And Rick sat next to me there, Rick Sunchild. He says, Matt, what'd you do? I said, Matt didn't do nothing. You hear me say anything? No, but you did something. I just called on the Lord. And you know what? 15 minutes later, he got up. He said, man, I'm hungry. And he talked, and the epilepsy was gone. Not me. Not me. The power of healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could sit here all morning and tell you story after story after story of how the Lord performs and how he works. Our biggest desire, and my biggest desire for you, is that you'll love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that you'll turn your health over to him. And that you'll pray for your healing, and that you'll pray for the healing of your friends. And if he doesn't answer right then, I got to share that? Okay. Dan was a young man of 35, and we have witchcraft up at Rocky Boy like you can't believe. And Kenny, he's the Black Cree, put a hex on him. Stopped his stomach right here. So he was dying. And the doctors couldn't figure out, and they tried everything. They even opened him up, took a look. There was nothing wrong. It was just witchcraft. And so his dad came to me and says, Matt, will you help pray for my son? I said, sure. So he and I went into prayer and fasting. I says, Joe, how long do you think it's going to take us to pray for this? He says, oh, he says, usually 3 or 4 months. He says, you usually the witchcraft gives up. I says, okay. So 1 year later, we're still fasting. And I says, Joe, what do you think? Well, this one here is going to take longer than normal, I guess, Matt. I says, well, the Lord's going to heal him. He says, I know he is too. So we kept a year and a half. And right in the service over at the Lutheran Mission, the Lord healed him. A year and a half. So it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it does, like with Mary and her cancer. It was healed overnight. Our building inspector, state building inspector, his sister was out in Seattle. Same way. He and I prayed. In that same hour out in Seattle, her cancer was gone. Yeah, made a believer out of a building inspector. Can you believe that? A state building inspector coming to the Lord? Yeah, no. So this morning I want to encourage you. Encourage you to come back to his word. Remember how we're to keep it cleansed, and then we're to keep it wrapped? Wrapped in what? Wrapped in his word. And I know many of you have experienced healings, you've seen healings. But this morning, mine's just a word of encouragement. So don't give up. Don't let Satan give you that sob story. And don't let it be self-inflicted. Don't let it be self-inflicted. Take it to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, remove this from me so I can see clearly again. Amen? All right, Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. And the extra scriptures I've written up there will just supplement what we've already experienced, Lord. But the biggest thing is, I just pray that we'll all just keep in your word daily, that we can be continually healed and ministered to, that you'll quicken us to draw close to you and to love you even more. And this morning, we ask a special blessing on Mark as he's not with us. We ask, Lord, that you'd comfort that family now that the funeral's over. Lord, that you'll bring them back to being a whole family again. And we thank you for that, Lord. So we give you this day all that's in it and pray we can go before you and get the job done you've put us here to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.